Will this joyous atmosphere continue? Should Europe expect more exits? How long will these stars remain in the blue sky of Europe? These are questions Europe has to answer, and an entire world is waiting for these answers.
Limelight. Former U.S. Vice President Mike Pence says he knows history will hold Donald Trump accountable over the January 6th insurrection. And he also made jokes at the expense of his former boss about the secret documents found at Mar-a-Lago. Mike Pence's comments are some of the harshest he has ever made about Donald Trump. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. U.S. broadcaster CNBC has covered this story and tells us more. Former Vice President Mike Pence on Saturday, 11th of March, harshly criticized former President Donald Trump for his role in the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol, widening the rift between the two men as they prepare to battle over the Republican nomination in next year's election. President Trump was wrong, Mike Pence said during remarks at the annual White Tie Gridiron Dinner, attended by politicians and journalists. I had no right to overturn the election, and his reckless words endangered my family and everyone at the Capitol on that day, and I know history will hold Donald Trump accountable. Mike Pence's remarks were the sharpest condemnation yet from the once loyal lieutenant who has often shied away from confronting his former boss. Donald Trump has already declared his candidacy. Mike Pence has not, but he's laying the groundwork to run. In the days leading up to the 6th of January 2021, Donald Trump pressured Mike Pence to overturn President Joe Biden's election victory as he presided over the ceremonial certification of the results. Pence refused. And when rioters stormed the Capitol, some chanted that they wanted to hang Mike Pence. The House committee that investigated the attack said in its final report that the President of the United States had riled up a mob that hunted his own vice president. With his remarks, Mike Pence solidified his place in a broader debate within the Republican Party over how to view the attack on the Capitol. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, for example, recently provided Tucker Carlson with an archive of security camera footage from 6th of January 2021, which the Fox News host has used to downplay the day's events and promote conspiracy theories. Make no mistake about it, what happened on that day was a disgrace, Mike Pence said in his gridiron dinner remarks, and it mocks decency to portray it any other way. Donald Trump, meanwhile, has continued to spread lies about his election loss. He's even spoken in support of the rioters and said he would consider pardoning them if he was re-elected president. Speeches at the gridiron dinner are usually humorous affairs, where politicians poke fun at each other, and Mike Pence did plenty of that as well. He joked that Trump's ego was so fragile. He wanted his vice president to sing "Wind Beneath My Wings." One of the lines is, "Did you ever know that you're my hero?" during their weekly lunches. He took another shot at Donald Trump over classified documents found at Mar-a-Lago. I read that some of those classified documents they found at Mar-a-Lago were actually stuck in the president's Bible, Pence said, which proves he had absolutely no idea that they were there. Even before the dinner was over, Mike Pence was facing criticism for his jokes about Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, the first openly gay cabinet member in US history. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered this story and tells us more. Mike Pence has offered a rebuke of his one-time boss Donald Trump, saying history will hold the former president accountable for his role in the 6th of January 2021 attack on the US Capitol. Mike Pence, then vice president, was in the Capitol when thousands of Donald Trump supporters breached the building in an attempt to stop Congress certifying the 2020 presidential election, which Trump lost to Joe Biden. As Senate President, Mike Pence presided over the ceremonial task of approving the votes of the Electoral College. Throughout the siege, Trump sent several tweets, one calling on Republicans to fight, and others making false claims of voter fraud. He also criticized Mike Pence for certifying the election results. Some rioters chanted, "Hang Mike Pence." A makeshift gallows was erected outside of the building. Mike Pence was spirited to safety by the Secret Service agents. On Saturday, 11th of March, at the Gridiron Dinner in Washington, Mike Pence told journalists and their guests, "President Trump was wrong. I had no right to overturn the election, and his reckless words endangered my family and everyone at the Capitol on that day. And I know that history will hold Donald Trump accountable." Mike Pence is now considering a run for the Republican presidential nomination in 2024 against Trump, the clear leader in polling. Pence rarely addressed January 6 in the months after the riot, but he has now upped his criticism of the rioters and Donald Trump himself. In a memoir released in November, he accused Trump of endangering his family. "What happened on that day was a disgrace," Mike Pence told the Gridiron audience, "and it mocks decency to portray it any other way. For as long as I live, I will never ever diminish the injuries sustained, the lives lost, or the heroism of law enforcement on that tragic day." A Donald Trump spokesperson did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Mike Pence's remarks came a few days after the Fox News host, Tucker Carlson, aired highly selective, misleading security footage of the Capitol attack in an attempt to claim many rioters were orderly. Tucker Carlson's depiction was sharply criticized by Democrats and Senate Republicans. Many other Republicans, particularly in the House of Representatives, shrugged off the episode. On Sunday, 12th of March, a relatively moderate House Republican was asked if Mike Pence was right to say history would hold Donald Trump accountable for the 6th of January 2021 insurrection. Nancy Mace from South Carolina sidestepped the question. "I see this in two parts," she told CNN's State of the Union program. "I think both sides are really struggling, looking at the nomination process. You've got some on the left that don't want Biden to run, and you've got those on the right that don't want Donald Trump to run. You know, a lot of folks on both sides keep bringing up 6th of January, and it's keeping us from moving our country forward." Nancy Mace was not among the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump over the Capitol attack, making Trump's second impeachment the most bipartisan in U.S. history. Nonetheless, she also saluted her own success in defeating a challenger endorsed by Donald Trump last year and said Republicans should unite behind a candidate who can win the White House. Asked again if Donald Trump would be held accountable, Nancy Mace said, He is one of the only candidates in right now, and we have a long way to go for additional candidates to jump in and see how the field lays out. Asked if the Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was right to have released more than 40,000 hours of Capitol security footage to Tucker Carlson, a decision for which Kevin McCarthy has faced fierce criticism, Nancy Mace said, I said early on it was important that it should be released to every outlet, including CNN, every media outlet, every defense attorney, so that the public can see for itself. There was violence on that day, you cannot deny that, and you know, it was a dark day in our history, but so was the summer of 2020. Nancy Mace proceeded to compare the deadly attack on Congress, now linked to 9 deaths, more than 1,000 arrests and hundreds of convictions, including some for seditious conspiracy, to protests for racial justice after the police murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota in May of 2020. We saw very few arrests when there were attacks by members of Antifa and Black Lives Matter. I had my house spray painted 2 summers ago and no one's been held to account for that.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, Muslim ladies. This is your program, and welcome to a new episode of Muslim Ladies. Well, in here I have Sister Zainab. Welcome, Sister.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much.
Wa alaikum assalam. It's a pleasure, always a pleasure to have you in here.
Same here.
And, well, as always, we're talking about things that are the concern of women. Well, as we have you in here, Sister Zainab, we would like to know more about a role model, that is Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha. We already have talked a lot about her, how she treated her family, how she treated her children, her husband, her family, I mean father and mother, and then a lot more of these details we have been through. But then I guess we need to talk more about how she had her role in society.
So one of the very important things, Sister Asma, is that we fail to manage public relations in a very healthy way. That's because, I tell you, since I come from India, and in the movies, in the, I don't know, serials or anything, whatever is taught or fed to us, or the content that's shared on the social media, messages, images, videos, in any form, whatever the content is shared, is that there could be no healthy public relation of a woman in the society.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she is like, either she has to be, make her body image so that she actually gets successful in different fields, or like, again, she cannot maintain public relations in a healthy way. But then Sister Asma, when I came here, Iran, and I was surprised, number one, in the university here. Why? Because all the administration was managed by women. That was the first ever university I saw that women administrating, women doing the service in the...
Yeah, everything is done by women.
From small services mm-hmm. to the administration, all were women. And I had never seen that before in India.
Yeah.
And then again, why I was when I was shocked over here in Iran was that I went to hospital and it was my delivery time. And I never knew like where I'm going to, you know, where my baby is going to come into this world. And then I get again shocked seeing a women's special hospitals available here. Like
yeah.
for deliveries, you have women's special hospitals where mm-hmm. men are not allowed. Even my husband was not allowed to see them. You know, he could only see it when I was discharged.
It's like, women realm.
It's yeah. I was really shocked because you don't find any such thing in India.
Yeah.
I don't know in any other part of the world, but I had never seen that before. That, mm-hmm. that came as a big shock to me. Then gradually when I started knowing people here, when I started developing relations, when I started going around, number one, I was not able to go around freely when I was living in some other country. Before that, I have never been able to stay outside my home when the sun sets.
Mm-hmm.
But here, I was amazed to see women exercising at night. Women
They even go travel. At night.
Yeah, so I personally traveled as a foreigner. I traveled to different cities without my husband, without my family, yeah. and all alone.
So that means women can do in a society without having of such, as you mentioned, women, unhealthy relationships.
What we're talking about is that I experienced for the first time in my life here, women can have healthy public relations.
That's it, yeah.
Women can have healthy public relations. It's not just no. If you're out of home after sunset, then you're not going to be developing
healthy relations with a nurse. And still accomplish some more of things they desire to accomplish.
Yeah, for
in
the
society.
First time, I saw a woman demonstrating something yeah. on the stage here, in a full hijab and demonstrating the story of Karbala, and now she was actually, you know, making the mm-hmm. high pitches, low pitches in her speech and then expressing it in a very traditional, different way. And I was amazed to see that. And I was waiting. The moment she described the narration of Karbala in just one line, I was looking around in the audience, literally. I stood up and I was looking around in the audience because I was waiting for bullying now. That's yeah. what I had experienced. That's mm-hmm. what I had seen. That's what I had actually... it's not like I performed somewhere and I experienced yeah. bullying. What I want to say I experienced in the sense, whenever you would see women trying to explore their talent in any other country, in any mm-hmm. other stage, in any other platform of the world, you will see bullying coming out at the very first instance. So I was like really shocked.
Yeah. So now that's a nice
example.
Women
is able to demonstrate yeah. and at the same time maintaining so healthy public relations.
Yeah. So this is just the beginning, dear Muslim ladies. Let's go for a short break and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
We are talking about maintaining healthy relationships, relating and going back to what we have learned from what we talked about Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha's lifestyle. And then Sister Zainab is helping us with that. So we talked about how women are accomplished in some societies freely and happily without having unhealthy relationships.
In other societies, women is not given that value that she realizes she can actually go out, work, maintain healthy public relations outside. Now, how does Hazrat Zahra Salaam Alayha teach us all this? How does Lady Fatima Zahra Salaam Alayha teach us all this? Coming back to her, it is to take care of Islamic teachings when we are coordinating in public, when we are maintaining public relationships, because while interacting, we got to take care of Islamic guidelines, we got to take off good morals, we got to take care that we have a cheerful face, we got to take care of that. What she would actually major thing she would take into consideration is that she is actually taking care of the rights of others.
Yeah, now that's the very perfect point of what we're talking about. How all these teachings have been passed down to us through her way of treating other people in society.
Yeah, actually treating other people in society, and I felt it very important to talk about maintaining healthy public relationships and then comparing different societies, especially that I have been living in, and with the society that I am living in right now. Because this society taught me a lot that you can actually maintain healthy public relationships with dignity, with respect, without just, you know, showing off to others, without just being a tool, without being something dehumanized. Yeah, so you can be valued without just being a sculpture of beauty. Lady Zahra Salaam Alayha teaches us is that she, in her public relationships, she would take care of Islamic guidelines, the good morals, the good ethics, and the rights of others.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And then the first thing she would have was a cheerful face. A cheerful face. You know, you would see many.
Which is very important, by the way, you know?
Yeah.
But not in an excessive way, because we all have effects on each other in society. When I come out and see all the people are brooding and so pensive.
Every action has a reaction.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel depressed myself as well. But if I come out and see pretty much vivacious people around, I'm not saying that we should do it in a stupid way and laugh for every single thing. But I'm just saying that we must have a face that is very much congenial and then so happy and cheerful. You can show it with your eyes as well.
Yeah, actually, in Islam, having a smiling face, having a cheerful face is considered to be a sign of iman, sign of faith.
Yeah.
So one has to be very, very cheerful. And in fact, Imam Ali al-Islam says to one of his companions, who is named Humam, he says to him, "Oh Humam, an intellectual believer is the one who has happiness and a cheerful face and sadness hidden in his heart."
Wow, yeah.
And now that's teaching us hundreds of things.
Exactly, yeah.
In just this one of the
so
guidance.
Your face must be always vivacious and all your sadness is being buried in your heart.
You know, because when we start saying our sadnesses to others, we are actually destroying the same public relations.
Yeah.
Now you never know the person you trusted when she's going to or he's going to
it might
use
turn
the
against,
same thing
you.
Against you.
First thing first is that it might turn against you. And then also, maybe you're going to have some bad effects on them by sharing your very sad experiences with them.
Yeah, maybe someone was already down and
that
person was not showing you. Now, you sharing your old sad experiences are actually turning him.
And the society would go off a cliff that is so sad. And society would go off a cliff, which is so sad and so depressing. So all the people would turn into these sad creatures that are out of liveliness.
In fact, we have one of the sayings from her. herself, Lady Zazara, she says the one who has a cheerful face, this becomes a reason that this person will be safe from the hellfire tomorrow, and it even makes the heaven obligatory for him.
Yeah.
And she's a direct student of Prophet. She's learning directly from him. So she maintains good morals. She maintains Islamic teachings. She maintains a balance, basically.
Exactly.
And the balance is very necessary. The way you were saying that we have to be cheerful, but we don't have to do it in a very mad way. In a very
excessive way
that everyone thinks around what's wrong with her.
Yeah.
Or maybe she wants her because some people take it as a green signal for very different things for like you never intended to.
Exactly.
So you have to be taken care of. You have to maintain that the balance.
Level of balance.
Seeing the society, knowing the audience.
Exactly.
You're actually going
That's
through.
Very important. And since we were talking about Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha, and also from whatever you have talk to us in previous episodes, I guess we have been going through too much of her lifestyle. You said that she has been so cooperative with her neighbors, with the family who came to meet her, all the women together.
And now in the society, in the public relations, with a cheerful face.
And that actually was the gist of what we were going to talk about. She is the role model to us. She has been teaching us all of these things, all of these behaving style with other people in society. And we, as Muslim ladies, have to take all of these things into consideration whenever we are going to play a role in society. So, Muslim ladies, this is all the time that we have for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, I just bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the Lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illa Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illa Allah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about listening to a prophecy from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible heir, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, when asked by someone whether he was the Qa'im with the truth. I also rise truthfully, but the real Qa'im is he who will remove the enemies of God from earth and will fill it with justice. He shall be my fifth descendant. His absence will be lengthy, during which multitudes will turn away from the faith, while only a few will uphold it. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Palestinian diaspora.
Part 2.
We continued until we reached a military outpost, where we were at first instructed at gunpoint to go back because Palestinians could not walk on the Jewish-only street there. So we filmed secretly as I asked the soldier present why Isa and my cameraman Hamdi were not able to walk on the road. The soldier I just engaged with refused to speak to me until I told him I was not a Palestinian. But many other soldiers had an even more negative attitude towards us, making it clear that Palestinians or any friends of Palestinians were not welcome. After witnessing the situation in Al Khalil, I then traveled to Ramallah in order to take part in protests rejecting the deal of the century. At this protest you're seeing alone, tens of protesters were shot and many others gassed, causing them to collapse and convulse.
We have an attack here on a member of the press, clearly marked as press. It's, of course, a violation of international law, firing tear gas everywhere. He passed out unconscious. This man is marked as a press and, of course, is not protesting. He's here to document purely, and he was targeted by the Israelis.
After the demonstration, we found out following a visit to the Ramallah hospital that four young boys were shot with internationally banned bullets. Three were hit in the legs and one in the head. The protests I witnessed, however, were just the tip of the iceberg. Other demonstrations were much more violent and led to the deaths of several young Palestinians. To find out more about why Palestinian people broke out into mass protest against the deal of the century, I met with the world-renowned journalist Jana Jihad and Palestinian icon Ahed Tamimi, both locals to the village of Nabi Saleh.
So since the announcement of the so-called
first asking Jana what she had witnessed since the announcement of the Trump plan.
As you said, are getting killed, people are getting arrested. I'm facing checkpoints on my way to school every day. Like, for example, yesterday, I was just going to my school and then there was this checkpoint. You know, the checkpoints here in the West Bank are not checkpoints. They're just a gate on the street. They usually close it, block the street, and then they go. They don't check the car, they just block it. So, like, I had to take another way that takes me about triple the time to get to my school. I was late to my school. Even today, we were stuck for 2 hours on the checkpoint. Every day since the deal of the century had been declared, you know, people, there are a lot of clashes, people are getting killed, people are getting injured, and it's very sad that we are paying the price of something that we didn't cause.
What we heard from Donald Trump was that when this deal was initially announced, that there would be some sort of peace that would come out of this and that the Palestinians would receive a great amount of money.
I believe that legalizing what's illegal is not peace. Legalizing occupation, legalizing settlements, it's not what we call peace. And I don't care about money. I just want my land. I want to stay in my house. I want to go to the sea that I've never been to, which is only 30 minutes far from my house, that I can literally see every single morning from the roof of my house that I've never been to. That's what I call peace, but that's not peace. And I don't care about money. What if I came and told you I want half of America? I'd pay you, but I just want half of America. Like, what would you do? You would just leave your houses for money, leave your land, leave your life, your memories, your history for money?
In Ramallah, I witnessed the largest demonstration the city had seen since the time of the Second Intifada, or uprising as it is known in English. What was clear to me in the West Bank was that there was a growing sense of desperation and also unity from the Palestinian people that could be felt building day by day. The desperation for action coming from the threat immediately posed to annex areas such as the Jordan Valley, which is where I began to travel to next. So we've just entered the Jordan Valley here, and what we witnessed just as we were entering was the closed military zones here, and the soldiers in the fields actually aiming just above children and telling them to duck, using them sort of as firing practice. And then what we also discovered as we were driving along is that two Bedouin children, young children who were riding on donkeys, were also arrested by the army. The Jordan Valley is home to 70,000 Palestinians, yet is 85% inaccessible to its people as Israel has turned the land into a military training ground and allowed for illegal settlers to come in and make goods to sell around the world. The area is, under international law, recognized as Palestinian land, which is to be the future agricultural hub of Palestine. Its undeveloped areas could also be used for energy projects, water extraction, and urban centers. One of the most important things to understand about the Jordan Valley is that this land here constitutes 30% of the West Bank, and of course means the loss of the most fertile agricultural land for a potential future Palestinian state. What you can see straight away when you come here to the Jordan Valley is that the people primarily here are building their houses as tents and as sort of cave structures and things like this, because the Israelis don't allow them here in Area C to actually build, have the permits to build homes. So if they were to actually build proper homes already before the land being annexed, and of course these people inevitably being expelled, then their homes would be bulldozed.
The conditions that have been imposed in the plan says that there is no Palestinian state. So what will happen with us? We are here more than 50% of the population. Now every year they demolish about 500 houses there. This plan says no Palestinian state and no sovereignty, no borders, no water, no air, no underground. Nothing for the Palestinians. In Jordan Valley, we are 70,000 Palestinians, and and the Israeli settlers are only 8,000. So we have to stay, and our existence there will be the main factor to stop the century plan.
It was clear from even before U.S. President Donald Trump, alongside Israeli Premier Benjamin Netanyahu, announced the details of the plan, that the Israeli regime sought to annex the Jordan Valley, northern Dead Sea, and illegal settlements, throwing away all the progress of work done since 1988 between Palestinians and Israelis. Looking on at the situation on the ground in Palestine, it was clear that a two-state solution looked impossible, and that a one-state solution where Palestinians could live with equal rights to Israelis was a long way from coming to fruition. However, the younger generation of Palestinians served as a great source of hope that one day liberation could perhaps be in sight, and that the failure of the old is now being replaced by a new vision for peace coming from the young.
Mm-hmm. today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome. This is today's special, and we're gonna speak about how to use leisure time. Salamu Alaikum. Today, Thursday, is the 23rd of Sha'ban, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Isfand, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of March, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, let's listen to verse 185 of chapter Al-Baqarah from the Holy Quran, and it's point.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ.
The month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for the people and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. So whoever cites the new moon of the month, let him fast it. And whoever is ill or on a journey, then an equal number of other days. Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship, and wants for you to complete the period and to glorify Allah for that to which He has guided you. And perhaps you will be grateful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The rising of the moon at the beginning of each lunar month in the form of crescent and then its gradual change can be the source of many uses in the act of practicing worship and the accomplishment of religious duties by people and in their material career as well. Everybody can easily count days of the month and enumerate the month of the year by the help of varying shapes or forms of the moon when dealing with trading and writing agreements due to appointing the time of promises and contracts.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
let's follow our topic, how to use leisure time. In Islam, leisure is not just what you do when you are not working or studying, but is a way of being, a way of approaching life that brings you closer to Allah. It does not include the idea that there can be any time when a person is absolutely free of any responsibility to do something useful and when he can waste time in ways that are of no benefit. He has duties which he must perform towards Allah and towards other people. Free time is a grace bestowed by Allah to his servants. Allah endows his servants with many blessings, as he says in chapter Al-Ibrahim, that is chapter 14 of the Holy Quran, verse 34, and he gave you from all you ask of him. And if you should count the favor of Allah, you could not enumerate them. Indeed, mankind is generally most unjust and ungrateful. Again, that was chapter Ibrahim, verse 34.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we are going to talk about the Islamic principles for leisure time. In describing the characteristics of a true believer, Imam Ali alayhis salam said, "Such believers do not lose time and always remain busy." This is in Nahjul Balagha, Chosen Words, number 333. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had told Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, Abu Dhar, be greedier in spending your time rather than your dirhams and dinars. Imam Ali as-Salam also said, chances go by like clouds. Therefore, if any chance presents itself, don't hesitate to use it for good work. Otherwise, you will regret it. Losing time is sorrowful. Again, we have it in Nahjul Balagha. This statement has been mentioned by Imam Ali alayhi salam in Chosen Words number 118. Seize on chances, otherwise you will never recover them if they are lost. Imam Hassan alayhi salam has said, the opportunities are lost quickly, but return slowly. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also has said, I would like to see the youth to be in one of these two states, either scholar or learner. I swear by he who named Muhammad as his messenger, that anything other than these two would be time loss. Anyone who wastes his life is a sinner. This is also another hadith that was mentioned in Bahar al-Anwar by Allam Majlisi. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, O God, if you have considered any leisure time for us, please make it clean so that no sin will engage us and we will not get tired, so that the angels will return to us with empty records of sins and failed records of goodness.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Okay, now things you should think to invest your time and energy in. One question, does it improve your relationship? An 80-year-long Harvard study showed that relationships, not money, predicted how happy and healthy participants were as they aged. Spending free time with friends and family members or keeping in touch on the phone depends on your relationships and also allows you to share your happiness with others. Another question on today's special. Does it feel challenging? Leisurely activities should still engage you on a level that allows you to utilize your skills and passions, because you're happier when you are fully engaged with something that requires all of our energy. Removing distractions while you complete a task or activity is one way to dial up the intensity. Had a part about successful people and the ways they spend their free time. They have hobbies. Yes, focusing exclusively on work might seem like a fast track to success. With nothing else distracting you, you can funnel your full effort into your job and do in 1 week what would take most people to. But this approach has a nasty downside. It stresses you out, sets you up for burnout, and prevents you from developing skills in any other areas. Finding and pursuing a hobby, on the other hand, helps you relieve stress, put your job in perspective, and build the skills that complement ones you use at work. It's a breath of fresh air that keeps you grounded. And if it's a social hobby, also offers networking opportunities.
Obviously, as Muslims, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated 5 times a day for our obligatory prayers. And those 5 times a day are spread throughout the day. Of course, there are other prayers which have specific times of the day and the night that they can be performed. And those are not mandatory, even though they are highly recommended, such as Salatul Layl, the night prayer. And the best time to perform the night prayer is between midnight and right before the Fajr prayer, right before the morning prayer. That is prime time. When it comes to prayer, what we are taught from the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt is to give prime time to prayer. Just like how prime time, there's prime time on TV. If you turn on the TV from the hours of 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., that's prime time. If you're producing a show, it's going to cost you more to have a show be broadcast during those hours than, for instance, the shows that are broadcast at 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. when most people are at work. And you notice a difference in quality if you turn on the TV at 12 p.m. versus if you turn it on at 7 p.m. There's a difference in quality in programming. That's called prime time. That's why you don't see major sporting events broadcast on a Wednesday at 3 p.m. because most people are at work. They broadcast them on a Saturday or a Sunday when most people are chilling at home and they want to watch something on TV and sort of escape from their weekly responsibilities physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually, just detached from everything. Likewise, when it comes to your prayers, the practice of the Prophet and from the practice of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we learn that there is a prime time.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.